You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Friday morning. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, June... I got to sneeze.
11th, episode 3970. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good
you
morning, Horse World.
God.
All right.
Okay, I'm fine. Everything's fine. What's happening today, Glenn?
Today, coming up on the show. Normally, we would cut that out, but I'm leaving that sucker in.
Thanks.
In our, when you screw up, I tend to want to leave them in.
I noticed that.
In our Where Are They Now segment, Christy West joins us and discusses her impressive career in competitive formation skydiving. And she also just got a new license we're going to talk about. Jamie's going to do a training tip involving poles. I think they're the kind... you lay on the ground. And this day in equine history honors the legendary round table, plus some really bad ads coming up. Also in the Auditor Post show, several auditors have requested to hear my acceptance speech for the Visionary Award, and I have that audio for you, and that's what we're going to do in the post show. I'll just play that, and you can take a listen or not. Up to you. But I wanted to let everybody know that I created an event page on Facebook for the 4,000th episode recording. So we're doing it on Zoom. It is on July the 19th at 8 p.m. That's a Sunday night at 8 p.m. We did it then so more people could join us. It's going to be on Zoom so we can see you guys for a change. You always a lot of you complain you want video so you can see us. Well, you got to see us, but we also get to see you. We're just now starting.
Hate that.
Yeah. So we're just now starting, and we'll have a few drinks. It's Sunday night at 8 o'clock. We can have a drink or two together and celebrate. I looked it up today, and according to two of the AIs I researched with, there have only been about 20 shows that have hit 4,000 episodes in podcasting. And
are they funded by the government, like NPR?
There were a couple. Like, yes, that's correct. Good guess. About half of them were those kind of shows. Another couple were tech shows that were been around since the beginning of, they started podcasting, basically. Twit's one of them, This Week in Tech. That's where I first listened to a podcast. And but, you know, as far as independents like us, there's probably five that have made it this long.
Wow.
So, you know, everybody knows Joe Rogan and all of them, but, you know, he has maybe 2,000. And, you know, and the other thing is, too, a lot of the ones that are around that have done over 4,000 have not been consistent. So they skipped a year here or there. Or, you know, they've been around for 20 years, but skipped a year or two.
I don't get the whole season thing in podcasts. Like, I listen to this one podcast. They're like, that's it for the season. We'll talk to you, you know, in season two.
There's a lot.
Well, how can you? I don't get it.
You take a break. I mean, it would be nice to have a break, right? For 3 months or so. But
we had a break. It was at least 2.5 weeks long, and I couldn't take it.
I know it was driving you nuts. I was sailing, so I didn't care. But there, you know, seasons are interesting in podcasting. There's a lot of people who really do seasons. I always thought seasons worked well if you were doing a murdery podcast and you're covering one murder for 20 episodes or 10 episodes. And then you take a break in between which one you're covering. That makes sense to me as far as seasons are concerned. Doing a show like ours seasons don't make any sense to me.
We're on season 427.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Kind of like some of those shows like Lost and stuff. It seemed like they had 5,000 seasons because they must have been doing four a year. I don't know. But in any case, I created the Facebook event, which means you can go in there and say that you want to join us or that you're interested so you get a reminder so you don't forget. So definitely click on one of those two so you get the reminders as we're coming up on it. We'll remind you again, too. I'll put a link to it also in our show notes. All right. Daily Winnie time.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
We have two auditor birthdays this weekend, Christy P. and Denise A. Happy birthday to both of you. We hope you have a fantastic weekend.
This is going to seem weird, but I'm going to give my daily Winnie. It's all going to tie together here to an author named Jek Ballou. I don't know if any of you have her books, but she writes a lot of books. One is in my tack room at all times, and it's called 55 Corrective Exercises for Horses. So I post a lot about the kind of rehab work and fitness stuff that I do for horses. And I think it was Kayla, was it? I think I'll think about it. Wanted to know, like, how do I start these horses and all that? So I was going to give you guys just a little bit of a walkthrough on this and then just how to start them. But I highly recommend getting any of Jek's books. She has Equine Fitness, Corrective Exercise for Horses. She online courses. I actually talked to us, the strength and fitness workouts for horses, practical conditioning plans using groundwork, ridden work, poles, hills, and terrain. Anyway, she's got a lot of books. So you can find them all on Amazon or jekballou.com. There's a lot of like training videos and stuff that she also does on her website. Anyway, we're going to get her on because I think, you know, her talking about it is going to sound a lot better than me talking about it. But in the case of like just wanting to start them, I've been working with Mizuma, the racehorse, for a month now. And then I just started Tito yesterday on all of this. I think I'm going to treat him for EPM too. But I'm just trying to help him figure out where his feet are. When you start, I think she has like a yearling and she wants to start figuring them out. I mean, the best thing to do is just familiarize them at first with the poles and make it comfortable. And that is just as basic as leading them over a pole. You're like, just lead them over a pole. And because some horses go, oh my God, it's like a brick wall. They're like, no, it's not. You can step over it. And so it takes a lot of that. And then I'll put two in a row. And then think about putting them in a round pin and putting a pole here. Like put a pole, like say the round pin's a clock. Think about going, you know, a pole at 3, 6, 9, and 12. And then have them go over that. Another thing that I've done is if you go to, like, it's not a billion more unpaid commercials, Glenn. You ready?
Okay.
So you can find those little tiny, they're called rail razors, and they're just about 5 inches tall, and they just sit under the edge of your pole. If you want to go a little higher, I highly recommend the Correct Connect has these like cone shaped pieces of plastic, but they have little indentations for you to put the pole in. And it's like low, medium, and high. And I use those all the time. So I'll use those on the inside of the circle because it'll help the horses kind of stay to the outside. And just start thinking about raising them, kind of like start with them just on the ground. Like I'll do like with Tito, I just have four poles that are 9 feet apart because a 9 foot is a canter stride or 2 trot steps. So if you put them 9 feet apart in the round pin, they can comfortably go over them. And then I raise them as it goes. I add poles. There's some great exercises. There's an exercise I do and it's like the pinwheel. So you put poles like if the clock would be like at 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, a pole going up, but like I put two poles like in a row. So it looks like this from probably the sky. It looks like this giant pinwheel of poles and I stand in the middle and the horses just, I make them walk around it and I can raise those or lower those or the more they are towards the middle, that's more walking. And then as they get halfway out, it's about trot steps. And as they get all the way out, they can canter it. I have not had one horse that could canter the pinwheel without more than 2 strides. So it's still a lot of stuff, but just think about with it, how easy can I make it and how friendly can I make it and know your distances, you know, 4 feet, 9 feet, 4.5 feet is a trot stride typically for a forward moving horse. But if you have a horse that's really short strided, then you make it a little smaller and they'll tell you very clearly as they start to go over it, I need more space, or I need them to be closer together because I can't quite get it. And you want to make it as easy as horse, as easy as possible for the horse. And I posted a video on my Flyover Farm Facebook page of Mizuma going over some elevated trot poles in slow motion. It's crazy. But you see them going over poles and you're like, okay, cool. Watching it in slow motion with elevated trot poles, you can see how he like tucks his abs and how much hock action and how accurate they have to be. You should see me talking with my hands right now. How accurate they have to be with their front end and where they place their feet. And it makes them really think about their feet. I use poles all the time. Like even if I get on a super green bean that's like super distracted, I do a pole exercise in my arena. Do you remember, Glenn, the game Pick Up Sticks when you were a kid? You'd drop that whole bunch of sticks on the ground and they'd scatter and you had to pick them up without moving anything. Anyway, I do that. I call it Pick Up Sticks. I don't think that's in Jack's book because she has like fancy stuff and I'm just like throw poles everywhere. And I'm like, I just ride them and I'm like, there's a pole over there to the left. Let's go left. And then we're going to go right. And then we're going to go left. And then we're going to go right behind this and circle back around. It's just like constant. It's so good for their brain and it's really good for their body. So we're going to get Jack Ballou on to talk about all of this and like the online courses because I really think it's important. But like I do a lot of this rehab work for I've had a couple horses that have had kissing spine surgery. I've got one in right now who we're going to see whether he's a surgical candidate or not. He's had some injections into his back and letting him just grow and be a horse. And then I've started all this kind of pole work to just see if I can get him to develop a little top line. A lot of times people hate side reins, but remember, it's the hands that hold the equipment that cause the problem. So I do some really low side reins on the side. So they have to really stretch down and then stretching down and over the poles, you can see their back muscles just rippling, you know, and developing the top line. So all of those are ways that I use them and also introduce them. It's just bit by bit. Like my husband says, what I do is like watching paint dry. So you just, nothing is a big deal. Never get excited. Never get stressful. Like everything should just be like, remember, you want to cause the horse to want to do it. You don't want to force them to do it. You want to cause them to want to do it. I have this pretty cool little thing I've been doing in Mizuma. So we have a pond and it, and there's no natural bodies of water in Oklahoma. And it's this tiny little pond, but they bermed up the side of it. So there's like this steep hill behind the pond. So I now make Mizuma trot hill work. Yes. And so I just stand in the middle and try not to get stickers on me, those little stupid sticker plants. And I have him just go around and I bought, this is, oh, great tip. I went to Amazon and I bought one of those like lap counters for swimming, you know, or whatever. So I bought a lap counter. So as I'm sending him up and down the hills or over the poles, you know, I started with like Tito's on four laps each direction of trying to maintain his composure and just trot over the poles. So we did four and I click it every time I go by because I would lose count. I'm like, how many was it? Did they do 8 or 14? I don't even know. Like, cause you lose count. So get a little clicker and just slowly graduate and get these books because they really help you figure it all out. So I'm certainly no genius. What is it that somebody told me when they came over and watched me train horses? They were like, you should write a book. And I'm like, there is a book. I read it. That's why I know. So yeah, I can't claim that I'm super smart at any of this. I just read the book. And so check it out. And that would be how I would start it. And so anyway, there you go. I'm trying to answer questions.
Very good. Well, thank you for doing that. Appreciate it. You all know that we want our horses breathing easy, especially this time of year. But sometimes you notice that there's an intermittent cough, some nasal discharge, or maybe they're just struggling a bit during exercise or going over poles or dealing with seasonal allergies. Well, our friends at Kentucky Performance Products have come up with something really special called Airwise. It's a research-proven supplement using a powerful blend of antioxidants and micronutrients specifically designed designed to support healthy lung function and a normal inflammatory response in the airways. It's all about keeping their immune health strong so they can perform at their best. AirWise is available through your veterinarian. It is a prescription product, so definitely have a chat with your vet about it if you have a horse in this situation, or head over to kppusa.com to learn more.
Join us as we chat with past guests to find out, where are they now?
Well, one of the most rewarding things about doing this show for the last 16 years is the really cool people that we have met and get to call friends. And our guest today is one of them. She made her first appearance on Horses in the Morning, and this is going to make you feel old, and I apologize, on episode 5 in 2010, and then came back weekly after that for a long time. At that time, she was digital editor and producer of thehorse.com. Christy West, welcome back.
It's good to chat with you all. It's been way too long, and yes, you did make me feel old. Thanks.
He makes me feel old. It's all good.
I looked, your last appearance here was in 2014, and that was an update on your life. We apologize for not getting back to you in the last 12 years. So.
I mean, we were good with an update in 2014. We didn't need to know more, apparently. Like, it's fine. She's fine.
Christy, you were... Last time we had you on, you were skydiving for a living, or at least, talking about skydiving for a living. Are you still skydiving for a living?
I wouldn't say I skydive for a living. I would say that I work as marketing and communications director for skydiving centers for a living. So the jumping is not what I get paid for. It's all the other things.
That's the fun part, right?
It is still the fun part. And I do still skydive quite a bit. I'm on what I tend to like is competitive formation skydiving. I'm on two teams this year. So it's a good year.
So you have to be in the thousands of jumps by now.
I am. I'd have to look it up, but I'm probably about 6,200 jumps.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. God.
How are your knees? Your knees hanging in there?
They're good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think a lot of people have the impression that all skydiving is round parachutes coming down hard and people tumbling and rolling with their landings, and that's just not that way.
Okay, then what way is it?
I'm sorry?
What way is it then?
So they're rectangular or semi-elliptical parachutes. So they're like airplane wings. So, I mean, you can steer them, you can flare them, slow them down for landing, like stepping off of a curb on the street.
And I guess after 6,200 jumps, you figure out how to do that gracefully. So, or you don't make it to 6,200 jumps.
I suppose both things can be true.
So, Christy, this begs a question. Okay, so you went from, you were coming on this podcast every week talking about articles that you were writing and things you were talking about on thehorse.com. How does one go from horses to skydiving? Like, horses weren't dangerous enough, so you're like, let's step it up.
It's almost like I've got different stages of life. I mean, I started jumping when I was 21, and I was still riding at the time. But that kind of became what I got into in my free time. But my whole, growing up, I was always working with horses, and I got my equine science degree. So while I was working at the horse, I was actually using both of my degrees, which were equine science and journalism. And then the skydiving was just something that I was doing for fun. And it just eventually became the job when I moved to Texas. So
when's the last time you rode a horse?
It's been a long time,
has it?
Unfortunately.
You live in Texas. That is possible to ride a horse there.
It is quite possible to ride horses out here. I just, I don't know. I guess I kind of switched gears a little bit.
A little.
But I don't maintain a lot of contact with it, but the guy who runs our pro shop here in Houston, his daughter got really into horses. And so I gave them some of my horse stuff and my old fancy tack box and all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of cool to see it still being used.
Well,
where in Texas are you?
I'm just south of Houston.
Okay, you're south.
So what prompted me to, what reminded me to get you back on the show was you did a post on Facebook recently, and Jamie's husband was an F-16 pilot and now flies for American. You decided that, for 6,200 times jumping out of an airplane that you should probably learn how to fly one, and you did.
I did. It's been a bit of a long road for that training for me, but I finally was able to finish it up, and it's, you know, everything is interesting. Obviously, I've been in the airplane more than 6,200 times because I didn't jump out of all of them. it's very different from F-16s, but still fun. You got to start some.
So you got your private pilot's license, is that right?
I did get my private pilot's license.
Does it take another license or two where you can bring other skydivers up and then push them out of the airplane?
So there's no particular license required for pushing people out of an airplane as a pilot.
Of course not.
There's definitely some training that you should have, but it's not something that the FAA regulates. I would have to have a commercial pilot's certification to do that. So in other words, that would enable me to actually get paid for that, unless I suppose I wanted to do it for free, which I don't. So
is that what you're doing or not yet?
No, this is so I've made my fun my work enough times now that I'm trying to do this just for me.
Well, good for you.
Smart.
So I want to, you know, my family's fairly spread out. It's small, but fairly spread out. My mom's, you know, I'm in Houston. My mom's on the East Coast. I got a cousin in Florida, another one in Tennessee, and my brother's in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area. So it just makes it a little bit more easy and fun to go see them as well. And I actually did go take this airplane to the East Coast twice already for family trips as a student pilot. So that was a lot of fun.
So do you own it or do you just rent one and take it off?
I've done both. I actually, in October, I bought the Cessna 182 from a friend of mine who was selling it to upgrade into a 210.
Don't tell Jamie's husband that. He's been begging to buy an airplane.
Let's just go with 180. Any airplane is probably more expensive than they used to be.
Exactly.
It's a little bit like horses, you know, that they get you with that first one that you rent. And then, you know, after that.
You know, we never understood why Jamie's husband wants to buy an airplane. He flies for a living. You think he'd get tired of it.
Yeah, but you know what he says to that, Glenn?
What?
You train horses for a living, yet you want your own horses. And I'm like, damn it.
That's a good point.
That's argument, right?
That's fairly accurate.
It's fairly accurate. It also means that when it's not your job, you can go fly or ride when you want.
Exactly.
That's true.
I like when it. But it's a no, Christy. Do not get on board with this whole shenanigans.
That's my whole life is getting people into aviation. Are you kidding?
Oh, no.
Now, last time we talked to you, you had been, how do I remember this? It was 12 years ago. You had been in Dubai and places like that. What other exotic places now have you been skydiving?
Not a ton. I did an indoor wind tunnel competition earlier this year in France, and that was cool. I went to the World Championships, the Outdoor Championships in Russia in 2021, which is probably the last time anybody went to Russia for sport for a while.
Yeah.
or close to it. But for the most part, I'm still U.S.
How was the Russian experience? What was that like?
Is which one?
How was the Russian experience? What was that like?
Well, the travel was brutal. And this was also when the hardest part, I think, was just sort of some of the post-COVID, because 2021, this competition was originally scheduled for 2020, but rescheduled to 2021 because of COVID. But even at that point, the airlines were still very confused, even day to day over, okay, well, you can go from this airport to that airport internationally, right? You know, or you can only fly into this country if you're coming from one of these cities, because that was kind of a country specific sort of thing. And I mean, we had, even within this small team, some people who were able to connect through our original plan, which was we were flying from different places around the country because everybody doesn't live here, but we were going to meet up in Amsterdam and take the rest of the trip together that way. Well, that didn't work because those of us coming from Houston got told we couldn't connect through Amsterdam and then into Russia. We had to go through someplace else, which turned out to be Paris. So, I mean, but we're in there checking our bags for the trip when they're rerouting us and doing all this mess. So it was, the logistics were interesting. Russia itself, besides being giant, is it was fine. And it was August. So what I didn't expect was the weather to be as warm as it was when I got there. I thought I was still in Houston. It was humid. It was hot. It felt like Houston. And then after a few days, it got windy and cold and more what I expected. But But it was pretty. They took good care of us. It was definitely an interesting trip. For sure.
Now, the World Cup is happening here right now in the United States. Some people are following it. I'm only a little tiny bit. But are there countries that, you know, dominate skydiving?
There do tend to be. Yeah, U.S. is one of them. And this is, again, there's different kinds of competition. But for what I do, it's the U.S. There's a very strong team out of Belgium. France is super strong. Some of those are more state sponsored or assisted programs, whereas the U.S. there's no state assistance for that. But it's a powerful legacy here out of Arizona, for the most part. So,
and horse people have a habit, as you know, of collecting equipment. How many parachutes do you own?
At the moment, well, I carry two at any one time, a main and a reserve. So I've got four in my current rigs, and I've got two more in a closet.
Oh, see, that's not, okay. That's nothing.
I have a question. In 68, whatever, 100 jumps, you have the main parachute and then you have the reserve parachute. How many times have you had to pull the extra?
I'm a unicorn, or not a unicorn, but I'm rare. None.
Oh, no, don't say none. You say, what you say is, I refuse to answer that question so I don't jinx myself. So
this is me knocking on my wooden desktop.
Okay. God, that's so cool. You're just so much cooler than all of us. It's insane.
That's not true. You're married to an F-16 pilot. He's pretty cool. Oh, well, you are too.
Exactly. Then us, me and Glenn.
You all are cool. You're still working with horses.
No, dude, you got it. You win. It's fine. I let it go.
Well, I got to tell you.
One thing I will say that's different about skydiving is that when you're not skydiving, it doesn't cost you anything, unlike a horse.
Oh, that is true.
That's one good thing. I mean, you may have to do some gear maintenance to get it back up to date when you get back. But, you know, when your rig sit in the closet for 6 months, it doesn't eat anything.
That's airplanes, true.
Well, it doesn't. They don't eat anything when you're not flying them, but they do still need maintenance. So,
but
that's
I was going to say, I'm sorry. I have been mired in this research on airplane purchases for like 10 years, and I'm calling bull on that because those suckers are way more expensive than keeping a horse in my backyard, girl. Come on.
That can be true. I was talking about the instance of not flying them.
Oh, yeah. Sure, because they're free when they're sitting on the ground. It's fine. That's fine.
I know. I mean, they still have hangar rent and all that. So there's also.
But I mean, Chad and I have talked about it. It's like the equivalent of having board. You pay board to keep your plane in their little hangar, and then you have to pay like your veterinarian to get all the checkups all the time, and they're like legally obligated to do that. So I mean, it's intense. I think you're a badass. I'm just kidding.
No, thank you. My bank account disagrees right now.
Well, you can be broke and be a badass too. Those two can go together. So
okay, good. We'll take that then. We'll take
Hashtag it. Broke badass. There you go.
Yes.
New I'm shirt.
There's
that
a
one.
New t-shirt. Add that to our collection
t-shirt.
Of t-shirts we
down.
Never have made.
You'll sell a lot of them.
Yeah. Christy, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. It's been so much fun to watch you on Facebook all these years. You know what's funny is it feels like I haven't lost touch with you. And that's what Facebook does, right? You see each other's posts and you just feel like I've been talking to you all along, but yet we apparently haven't talked in 12 years. So
apparently not. But yes, I've seen kept up with you guys a little bit. I'm not on social media quite as much as I used to be, but it is always great to take a look and see people at AHP. Congratulations on your award, by the way.
Thank you, Christy. See, you do follow that still. I think it was probably from you that I might have heard about AHP in the first place all those years ago.
Was it really?
Yeah, I think it probably was because I didn't know what AHP was when we were doing this podcast thing because, you know, we weren't exactly invited. So, I mean, I had to
I get to share in the measure of success slightly.
I'll cut off a piece of the trophy and send it to you. Okay.
All right. No.
Thank you, Christy.
That's
appreciate
great. Well,
it.
Seriously, well deserved. You reach a lot of people. You have a lot of fun, and it's really good to talk to you both again.
Well, I want to remind everybody to get your Spalding Fly Predators now. It's that time of year when you should be doing that. HRN 10. HRN10 is your coupon code. If you're brand new, you can get 10% off your first order. So if you want to give them a try, be sure to use our coupon code HRN10. It's time for This Day in Equine History, and I got three stories for you here. We're going to go back to ancient Rome in the first one, June 11th.
Is it true? I have a question.
Yep.
Is it true that you men think about ancient Rome like all the time?
I don't know. I do think ancient Rome's cool. I think I've watched every ancient Rome documentary and TV show ever made.
So, see, there's that whole thing about people thinking about ancient Rome all the time. And I was like, who thinks about ancient Rome all the time? So I asked Chad, I'm like, how often do you think about ancient Rome? And he's like, 3 or 4 times a week. I was like, what? Why?
I'm not sure I'm that often.
So here you go. This is like, you're thinking about ancient Rome. Here we go. Let's hear it.
Chad has a lot of time in a cockpit doing nothing. So in ancient Rome, June 11th marked the final days of Vestalia, a festival honoring Vesta, goddess of the hearth. On this day, working donkeys and horses that turned the heavy stones in grain mills were exempted from labor, decorated with garlands of flowers, and paraded through the city with small loaves of bread strung around their necks.
To be fair, they were just like, just give me a day off and leave me alone. I don't want to be paraded
around.
Yeah,
I was just
going
to say, then on their day off, they got paraded around the city.
They had to work on their day off.
I thought that too, actually. But I never knew about this, the Vestalia and this festival. Never knew about that.
Basically, what we all have to do today is tie garlands of flowers and loaves of bread around our horses' necks so we can celebrate
them.
There we go.
On June 13th, 1932, Golden Cloud, a striking Palomino stallion was born. Do you know what that horse was and became, Golden Cloud?
Well, I mean, wasn't it a walking horse? But also, I know who that horse is. Do you want me to spoil it?
Yeah, spoil it.
It's Trigger.
That's right. It's Trigger. Of course, Roy Rogers' horse, but he was born on this day. And I never knew that his name was changed later. So that's, I was new
He
Trigger.
Was a walking horse, right? And that's what I, okay.
Some kind of gated horse. I don't remember.
I'm going to Google it while you do the next one.
Okay. So the next one involves Queen Elizabeth. On this day in 1984, Queen Elizabeth visited the Kentucky Bluegrass region. During her trip, she made a special request to visit Round Table, a legendary 30-year-old retired stallion at Claiborne Farm. She wanted to pay her respects to his mother, Knight's daughter, who was bred by her father, King George. So basically, this horse was in her lineage of horses, and she wanted to pay respect, which then got me thinking, well, who the heck was Round Table? And then I learned Round Table was considered the greatest turf horse in American racing history. He was foaled, get this, this is a coincidence. He was foaled on the night of April 6, 1954 at Claiborne Farm. Another future Hall of Fame legend and Horse of the Year Bold Ruler was born at Claiborne Farm the same night. They were born the same night. And actually, this horse Round Table is credited for saving Claiborne Farm. Early in his 3-year-old season, Bull Hancock, who owned Claiborne, sold an 80% majority stake in the colt to an Oklahoma guy, an oilman named Travis Kerr, for $145,000. Hancock later admitted that the cash injection was literally what saved Claiborne Farm at the time, allowing them to pay the estate taxes and to keep the property afloat. So,
then Bold Ruler went on to sire Secretariat, and the success just continued.
That's right. So when he was retired, when this horse was retired in the 1959, he surpassed Nashua to become the all-time leading money earner in thoroughbred racing history. So he sold away, 80% of the ownership of this horse for $145,000. But
that's
how much?
Nothing now.
Yeah, but then, how much would he have made back in the winnings of this horse as he went on through his career? So, but anyway, I thought that was all interesting. I didn't know any of that. So,
okay, while everybody's sitting here yelling at me, apparently it's an urban myth that Trigger was a Tennessee walking horse, and he's actually a quarter horse thoroughbred cross, and he's registered. So
there you
sorry,
go.
I'm not perfect. I know y'all are yelling at me. He wasn't a walking horse. Anywho, that's what the internet says. So we're going with that.
But, and you know, this is the first time we've actually corrected ourselves in the same episode. So I think that that's growth.
Thank you. We don't have to make a public apology on Monday. This is so great.
We won't have to get all the emails and the posts saying, you got that wrong. It's because apparently we corrected it. Thank you, Jamie, for looking that up. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
I'm sorry. I'm learning so much. Okay. The rest of you that are yelling at me saying Trigger was a Tennessee walking horse, turns out that after Golden Cloud Trigger retired, there were two other prominent Palominos named Little Trigger and Trigger Jr., Tennessee walking horses. Thank you. Okay, I'm done.
Did Roy Rogers ride those horses?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. You know what? Don't ask any more questions because I'm just going to get yelled at.
It's time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when we make fun of other people.
Or ourselves. It's fine.
This month, we're giving away a prize. It's a box of crap. It's a Glenn's box of crap. Coveted box of crap. It's been a while since I've given away a box of crap. And I'm telling you that there's going to be real crap in it, so don't get too excited, all right? I know other people have set high expectations.
Yeah.
And the other disclaimer I'm going to put here is I don't want any of this crap back. So if you don't want it, you have to give it to somebody else. That's the rule. So because I'm getting it out of my studio.
You know what you should do is like in one of these books that you think nobody's going to read, put a $100 bill somewhere in the middle. So like they just accidentally find it. They're like, I was reading that book and I found $100.
If you find this $100, email me yet.
Yeah, because I left it. I lost it.
Now whoever wins the box of crap is going to be going through every book page by page. That's funny. I actually kind of like that idea. Well, you don't have time.
I know, right? Do you know what my mom always did when we stayed in a hotel? I'm sorry, this is a tangent day. My mother would take a $1 bill and put it in the front page of the Bible in like the drawer. And I'm like, why are you doing this? She's like, I want to reward people for reading the Bible. I was like, you don't even read the Bible. Whatever.
People submit their ads for Really Bad Ads from Craigslist or Facebook, and we just have a little bit of fun with them. We don't have time to get to them all every week. Amanda, Michelle, Christy, Michelle, Rebecca, Stephanie, Hannah, and Katie, thank you for sending. You are in for the box of crap, but we just don't have time to get to all of them. Tegan sent this one in. This is from the Ann Arbor area horse people. That's pretty straight. ISO donkey, preferably loudest mofo possible.
Somebody hates their neighbors.
Okay, let's decide. Why do they hate their neighbors? Why are they doing this? Because usually you do this when the neighbors probably got rap music going till 2, 3 in the morning, right? And you're hoping the donkey just goes off at 5 a.m.
I don't know. My neighbors don't blast loud music at all, but they're just so unpleasant that I think that I want a loud mofo as well. That would be so fun. And like put it in the paddock next to their house. Yes.
Okay,
yes,
everybody. We want to know, and the auditors especially, we want to know in the auditor room, why would you want a very loud donkey? For which neighbor are you targeting?
Or she wants her husband to move out.
One or the other.
I can come up with all sorts of crap. okay, Ursina sent in the next one and doesn't show me. Sometimes remember, Jennifer doesn't want me to visit the page that the ads come from, so she cuts them off. So this one is from some Facebook page, but I don't know what. Horse information. Red Roan Draft Mare, 4 years old, 15 hands. Green as green can be. Has been on her own in a round pen for a few weeks. $4,000. By the way, the picture is of a red roan with a wearing a halter with like a 9 foot long catch rope.
Did you see how long the feet are on this horse? They look fake, actually. It's crazy.
Oh, bless it. Bless it.
Well, apparently they can touch it. So at least there's that, because there is a rope tied to it. Or maybe they just leave it tied to the rope. I don't know.
No, the rope is tied. It's called a catch rope. For horses you can't catch.
Yeah,
some people just leave the rope on it.
I thought it was a lunge line at first.
No, it's just a long ass rope.
Because both of you and I have gotten horses that were tied to trees when we went to pick them up. So, I mean. Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Carl.
Looking at you, Scooter. Betty sent this one in for sale. Selling Leo due to false advertising.
Oh, boy.
Meet this previously advertised AQHA 5-year-old gelding that does no wrong. Owned him for 2 weeks currently, at which he went straight to the trainer for a tune-up. Experienced riders only, unless you'd like to meet Jesus recreationally.
I've never heard that.
I haven't either. He might ride great if your hobbies include bull riding, skydiving, and making poor financial decisions.
Christine,
we need help on this one. She can probably ride it. I apparently purchased him during happy hour and complimentary cocktail package has since worn off. You've done that a few times, so you can relate to this.
I don't know what you're talking about. I would never do that.
And I now own a caffeinated rodeo event with trust issues. Excellent horse for a cowboy or someone braver, younger, or covered by better insurance. Oh my God.
I'm looking at the picture, and this is a very, very grumpy looking sorrel quarter horse. But I'm looking at him, and the first thing I would say to these people is take off the back cinch, or at least loosen it. That back cinch is tighter than the front cinch. Well, of course he's bucking you off, you dumbass. I'm sorry.
Also, the saddle's sitting back about 5 inches too far back in the, on the horse. That doesn't help either.
Yeah, and your saddle pad should not cover the horse's hips. Okay.
See, this is a case where it said, I sent the horse to the trainer. You should have gone to the trainer with the horse. That's probably the case with this one.
Disaster. Paige sent the next one in, and this is just a like little, I don't know
God,
what page
have
from.
A theme today.
ISO broke to ride buckskin quarter horse. If you say, quote, so broke grandma can ride him, end quote, I expect to see video of an actual grandma riding him. Otherwise, don't waste my time. Ever tell you that there's a woman comes over, she's like, she was a dressage rider, like in her youth and like a judge and everything. Well, she's now, she was probably, I mean, in her mid 70s. And I had this really gentle giant thoroughbred, and she would come over and just watch me train horses, just come over, hang out. And so this big horse, he had some like oscillates and some problems, like some racetrack jewelry, we call it. And she just loved him. He was so gentle. I was like, do you want to get on him? And she was like, hell yeah. So she gets on him, and she's at this point maybe 78. Now, you guys know I would not put somebody on a horse like of that age to like the horse is going to cause problems. So I took a video of her riding this horse. I posted it, and he was adopted 7 minutes later. So
you need her coming over for all the horses.
I know. Like 7 minutes after posting that video.
She can charge 10%. She can just hire herself out to ride for sale horses to her 10% commission.
Gosh. I saw her a couple of weeks ago. She's like, how's that horse doing? I was like, no news is good news.
Lilith sent this one in. I think it's from England. And this is a first. You know, we've been doing these so long that I never think we're going to have a first. And today we have two. So this is a first. This is the trailer, quote unquote, for sale. 3.5-ton horse fan, $5,500. Horse fans are very popular in Europe.
5,500 pounds.
Yes, right. 2007 Vauxhall Mono Movano holds two horses, super easy on fuel, has tow bar if needed, has tack area in the back for storage. This is a modified van. This has got to be homemade. This has to be homemade.
It looks like a van. Like somebody, you know, these vans that pick up from the airport. And there's like, you know, a like place for a wheelchair. They converted like the wheelchair ramp to like a horse ramp.
This is crazy looking beast.
You do you, baby. I would love that.
You know, van conversions are a huge thing with van life and all of that now. This just takes that to another level right there.
And, horse van life.
And you can have it for 5,500 pounds today. And it's painted a very homemade red. Looks very hand-painted red.
The next one comes in from Melissa, and this is the Facebook page, Northern Illinois Horses. Hello. I'm hoping to reach some exotic pet owners who have horses that would be interested in a trade. Oh, no. What are we trading today? Okay. Oh, my God.
We have never had this before. This is the first.
We have a tarantula collection. And I'm curious if anyone would trade that for a horse.
This is one I wish we had the phone number for.
No wonder Jennifer included the Facebook page name, because she knows I'm a good call. Okay, get it together. Okay, hello, I'm hoping to reach some exotic pet owners who have horses that would be interested in a trade. I have a tarantula collection, and I'm curious if anyone would trade for a horse. I have 4 female tarantulas, 3-plus years old, with enclosures. And with enclosures and the lot, its estimated value is between $1,000 and $1,800.
Expensive.
I also have, 6 years of tarantula care and knowledge that I am going to share with you. I will send you pictures if you DM. I don't want to upset anyone with arachnophobia.
We thank you for that, us arachnophobics. Yeah. We thank you.
You're an everything phobic. Snakes, bugs, spiders, all the things. Okay, here's what they want to trade their spiders for. I'm looking for a healthy horse that can go into a mixed herd. I'm hoping someone sees this as an interesting opportunity to get a horse off of their feed bill and get some valuable breeder tarantulas.
She has a tarantula emoji there, too.
Yep. I didn't need that.
I got to tell you, that's very that's just one of the most specific trades we've ever had.
And they're very polite because they say located near Mokena, Illinois.
Jennifer, do you have the phone number for this one? Can you please call and find out if she got somebody to trade the tarantulas for the horses? We want to know.
I just got to go join the Facebook page and search for this ad and see if there's any comments of like, oh my God, I've been wanting tarantulas and I have this horse.
Who sent this one in? Melissa, can you do that for us? Check on this and let us know how this happened, how this goes.
You have an assignment, Melissa. You have an assignment.
Frankie sent this one in.
Gross. My skin is crawling. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's so specific. Go ahead. Frankie, someday, maybe with AI, I could have help with this. I could have it go through all the past show notes of all the Friday shows and find the most unique things that have been wanted for trade for a horse. We could make a top 10 list with that, baby.
We should have just started taking notes years ago. What are we doing?
That would have required one of us to be organized, and that never happened.
I know. It's true.
Frankie sent this one in. Nice large pasture buddy or pasture ornament pony. Stout, sweet, feral. Stout, sweet, and feral. Maybe trainable, but not by me. Make offer. Oh, God, that's one fat horse. That's a fat white horse right there.
A very fat white horse in the picture.
And apparently it's sweet. It's definitely stout. I'll give him that. He's honest about that. And it looks
like a picture of a pony that somebody was like, you know how you have those Snapchat filters that change your face? It looks like somebody put a little pony and it like expanded it outwards, like it stretched it out. This horse's front legs are like 3 feet apart.
If you see the halter, it kind of sticks out from the horse's face too. That is weird. You're right. They did something with the filter there.
Uh-huh. And they drew the belly down a little bit. I don't know. I mean, who's going to do that? Why would you do that?
They ran it through AI and said, make him look better. And this is what they came up with.
This is what AI came up with. Brenda says, sent this one in. Short 5-year-old quarter horse Mayair, M-A-I-R.
That's the first time I've never seen it spelled that way before.
You can't spell mayor right, but you spell approximately right? short 5-year-old quarter horse Mayair, approximately 14. Approximately 14 four hands. F-O-R-E-H-A-N-D-S. Not broke to ride. Not super gentle. She's not mean. She's just scared of a lot. I am moving.
She's moving to get away from the horse.
Can you tell me, is it me or is that horse's tail stuck in the fence? Oh, wait, that's another horse behind it. That is it. And there's another horse right behind it. So it looks like it has two heads and a tail stuck in the fence. This is the worst picture I've ever seen.
It does look like it has two heads. Looks like it's a Siamese twin almost.
That is super bizarre.
Maybe it's another AI bad picture.
It looks like it's like a horse that's looking at the camera backwards. And there's a horse like on the other side of the fence and its head is like launching into the horse's butthole.
There is something wrong with this picture. Something wrong.
I almost feel like we should post that picture so everybody can see it. But then people are going to contact us about buying the horse. See, this is why we can't post pictures, you guys, because if we put them on a regular page, then people want to buy it. So if you want to see this crap, you have to be an auditor because that's the only safe place we have to post this crap.
It's true. We used to post them every week on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, but the number of DMs we would get wasn't worth the hassle.
Bad trailers, like, it was crazy. People are like, I want to buy that. I'm like, so I guess somebody buys this crap.
I guess.
Okay. Final ad is one that I found, and this is on most fun pages. Horses for sale in Oklahoma under $1,500. It's very specific. Stud horse for sale, all caps. Stud horse for sale. Registered. I'm assuming that meant to say registered, but registered 18 years. He's been registered for 18 years. Next line, old good.
Old good?
Next.
That's all?
Old good.
Old good. Huh.
Next line, perpendicular.
To what?
I don't know. Next line, riding hose make. Next line, good looking baby.
Baby.
215-800 AR. Next line, best. Next line, iffer.
This is really bad.
So bad.
It's old and good and perpendicular.
It's an old good perpendicular riding hose. Just make an iffer. That is such a gem. Like that Facebook page, any of Oklahoma horse for sale Facebook pages are like better than Craigslist.
Better than
point.
Texas even.
Yeah.
You know what? We didn't have any today. The South was exempted today. We had none from the South. No Southern accents today.
Hold on. Let me go to Craigslist in Florida and I'll come up with about 47 in 5 minutes.
Or Georgia, one of the two.
That's true. Hey, either one.
Do you remember? Thank you for sending your really bad ads. You could send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com if you want to participate as well. Do you remember earlier in the week or last week? I can't remember when it was. We talked about, it was last Friday on Really Bad Ads. Somebody had a pet raccoon or something. And we said, anybody that's had weird pet animals, let us know. Guess who I have booked for Monday?
Oh, my God.
I have booked for Monday one of our listeners whose grandma had pet skunks, and the one was not de-skunked. And she, as a kid, got to play with the pet skunks. And now grandma has a pet goat in the house. So we're talking to her on Monday to find out what it's like to have a pet skunk in the house.
Screw that. I want to talk to grandma.
I don't think grandma would come on the show. So we have to do the best. We had to get grandchild here. But yes, so we're starting with a skunk. And then I've had people with other pet stuff like raccoons and things that I'm going to get on the show too. So we're going to have a whole series of weird pets in the house.
I am so excited about
that. And then
when
you call the tarantula lady, we could get her on too to find out about tarantula keeping.
Now, I know you weren't talking directly to me. I'm pretty sure that we were talking to Melissa. Melissa, make the call.
Melissa, as a matter of fact, trainer for the tarantulas, so we can learn more about that.
Or just make the call and like, just we'll have you on to tell the story of the phone call that you made.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect.
Or messenger, and there'll be like the like messages back and forth, and Glenn and I'll read them back and forth. Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us today. We appreciate it. You can tune in to this fine programming again on Monday when we talk skunks in the house. That's going to be the title for Monday's show.
Oh, God, I want one so bad.
What, a skunk?
Yeah, I would like a skunk in my house.
Well, let's find out the details first, like is it housebroken, things like that. Let's find out those details before you want a skunk in the house. I think there's more to it than you think. All right, that's it. We're heading out. You guys all have a terrific weekend. Auditors, if you want to hear my acceptance speech for the award I won last month, a couple of you requested it. I'm going to play it in the post show. Jamie and I will not be here, but the acceptance speech will. If you don't want to listen to it, that's fine with me, too. I will say this was taken on Ashley's phone, and it was on a video on Ashley's phone from where, Jamie? All the way in the back far corner of the room. So I cleaned up the sound as best I could, but it does sound like I'm on stage about a half a mile away. And that's because Ashley was pretty much a half mile away. So I did the best I could. I don't know if they didn't do an official recording or what, but this is the best I could do.
Well, you did good. And I would like to point out that Northern Illinois Horses Facebook page is a private group. So I'm going to need some help, Melissa.
Melissa, you do it. You go for it, all right?
Kill those tarantulas. They're spam.